Well, let's take our Bibles. Let's turn together to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 26. We've been working our way through the story of David and been through some tough times. He's not done yet. And he was a man after God's own heart, but boy, he was tested. So I think what we learn from that, Emma, is that we don't give up, we don't quit just because maybe we're not doing as well as we'd like. We keep going because you never know how that's going to turn out. So, all right, let's look together. Chapter 26, if you found your place, would you stand with me in honor for the reading of God's Word? Verse 1, "And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakkelah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakkelah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that David came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul, to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away. And no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked. For they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill far off, and a great distance being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice, and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord hath stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go, serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Let's pray together. Father, we pray tonight you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God, and I thank you for the message that we find here. And I pray you'll speak clearly and directly to us tonight. We thank you for this. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, I think we see once again here tonight, we see the proof of God's blessing upon David's life. And, you know, one of the things that we see in life is that God blesses us when we honor Him. And in this passage, I think clearly we see an example of David honoring the Lord because he honors the Lord's anointed one. He honors the man that God has chosen initially to be king, even though David has been chosen to take his place. And so I think God is blessing David. And let me just say that we need to honor the Lord in how we live our lives. I was talking with someone earlier about the way that the business world works today. And, you know, there's very few companies out there today that really try to honor the Lord in the way they do business. And yet, some of the notable ones that we see that do that, and one of the ones we talked about was Chick-fil-A. And, you know, I mean, not only do they do a pretty amazing spicy chicken sandwich you know, a cold lemonade, Brother Garland, but they're closed on Sundays. You know, they said early on, they said from the beginning, we want Sunday to be a day of rest and a day of worship for our employees. And, you know, has God blessed that? Well, absolutely. Because why? Because when you, or how do we know that? Because when you drive by there, you know, they've got their drive-thru. They've got two lanes. How many fast food restaurants have two lanes for their driveway? You know, some of them do now, but not that many of them. And typically they're backed up in there. Now they're running them through there and they're, you know, I mean, well, it's a well-run company, but part of the blessing that's on that company is that they have chosen to honor the Lord. And I'm sure a lot of people would say, well, you can't afford to be closed on Sunday. You can't afford to shut down one day out of the 7 days. And I believe that what we would see with this is that if we honor the Lord, God is able to do more in 6 days than we could do in seven. And this is kind of, you know, it's related, but it's an aside. But when we were in Memphis, one of Chris's guys came up with him. They call him Buckwheat. And Buckwheat is a farmer. And he farms 1,500 acres of corn and soybeans and whatnot. He's not a real big farmer down there, but, you know, it's big to us. But here's what Buckwheat has come up with. Buckwheat said, you know, I'm going to honor the Lord in the way I plant and the way I harvest. And so I'm going to take Sundays off, and I'm not going to work on Sundays, even when it's harvest time, even when it's planting time. And Chris was telling me, he said, you know, it's amazing how God has blessed Buckwheat, has blessed his farm. And God has honored him because he honored the Lord. I want to encourage you. There's going to be ways that you will find that you can honor the Lord. And when you do, just be sure of one thing. You know, you don't know how or when or you know in what way, but God will honor you as well. God will return that to you. So David in this story, we see a similar story in chapter 24, if you remember, where David was in the cave and Saul came in and David had an opportunity to kill him, wouldn't, cut off the corner of his robe. But then he even felt bad about that, you know. I mean, he was such an honest guy. I mean, I grew up with a guy like that. He was so honest, he'd catch his own foul tips, you know. I mean, he was just, besides being a great athlete, here again, Saul comes out. The people of Ziph, the Ziphites, don't you love that? Wouldn't you like to be a Ziphite? If we could see this area, we might not like it so well because it's kind of a remote area. It's kind of a desert-like area. But that's where the places where David's having to hide out to avoid Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. Well, the people of Ziph betray David. Now, whether that was because of they were afraid that Saul might learn that David was in their area and that they hadn't told Saul. And, you know, remember, Saul had overseen the killing of the priest in the city of Nob. They knew Saul to be a ruthless, violent man. Well, regardless of why they did it, they turned David in. And so they informed on David where he was. And so Saul came, bringing his 3,000 men. And we've talked a little bit about, you know, this is probably 10 years now that David has been on the run. He's been fleeing. He's been being pursued. And, you know, it's a constant thing. And it's difficult. Well, turn over to Psalm 54 for just a moment. And you see here the occasion. This is a psalm that that David wrote. The introduction here in my Bible, it says, to the chief musician on Neginoth, Maskil, a psalm of David when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? So we not only have the Ziphites, we have the Ziphims. So if you prefer, you could be a Ziphim instead of a Ziph. Okay, never mind. All right, look at the psalm, 54. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Well, David has, you know, in this moment, David could be griping, dirty rat Saul, he's no good, he's out here chasing me around again. He could have been complaining and whining and murmuring. You know, he could have been doing a lot of things, but here's his focus. He's praying. He's praising God. He's focused on the Lord. And I want to encourage you, because there's times in our lives when we can easily just get mad. We can get angry. We can be hurt. We can have all these things in our mind. And that's so much easier sometimes than turning our focus to the Lord. Well, I want to encourage you to say, God is my helper. God is watching over me. God is taking care of me. God is providing for me. And, I think that's a powerful moment there. We just see a little bit of what's going on. Well, so Saul comes out, David sends his spies, and they're, Saul's hunting, looking for David, and meanwhile David is making sure of what's going on. And, you know, when we came to the end of chapter 24, you know, Saul had pretty much said, you know, that he was done looking for David. He wouldn't be out there anymore. Where he is again. And so David goes, they spy out the camp, and they discover that Saul is bedded down in a trench in the very middle of the camp. So he's got all of his men, 3,000 men. All right, that's a pretty good number. He's got 3,000 men. They're surrounding him. He's in the very middle. And David gets this idea. And, you know, why do you think David did this? Well, you know, I don't know if it's just something he decided or if the Lord prompted him, put it in his heart and his mind. But David said, hey, I'm going down there. Who will go with me? And, you know, he asked Abishai and one of the other guys, you know, and Abishai says, well, I'll go with you. And first of all, let me just say, what an incredible moment when David says, hey, I'm going for a walk. Where are you going? Down there. Where are you going down there? Right in the middle of their camp. You want to go? Sure, I'll go. I mean, what a moment. And so David, number one, I think he's showing us the fact that he's a leader. You know, he's not saying, hey, a couple of you guys go down there and tiptoe around a little bit and see what you can see. He goes himself. And I think that's one of the marks of leadership, is that you don't send people out to do something that you're not willing to do. And so here goes David, here comes Abishai, and they go right into the middle of 3,000 men. And I'm just thinking, you know, 3,000 men, and they're apparently all asleep, but sure as anything, I'd step on a couple of them. You know, trip and fall over one or, you know, something. Well, now we know that the Lord had just put them into a deep sleep. They weren't going to be waking up. They weren't going to stir. But I don't know that David and Abishai knew that. So I figure they were being, you know, they were sneaking around. They were being as quiet as they possibly could. And of course, they were, you know, outdoors men, and they were, so I'm sure they were used to this kind of thing to some extent. And so here they go. They come right into the very middle of camp. No one challenges them. No one questions. And they come right up to the trench, and they look down, and there's Saul and Abner, and they're his commander, and they're down there sleeping. And so Abishai steps up and he says, boy, what an opportunity. The Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand. Let me just take that spear. And I will smite him. I'll hit him one time, and that's all it'll take. I won't have to do it twice. And your problems will be over. And I wonder if David thought about it. I wonder if he thought, well. Now, regardless, he didn't. Probably he didn't, you know, just because we've seen already, you know, his mindset about that. He was very particular. He said, I'm not going to raise my hand against God's anointed one. And so he said the same to Abishai here. No, we're not going to do that. Just grab the spear, grab that water bag there, and let's go. Just take that, and that's it. Abishai said, oh, okay, you know, grabs the spear, and here they go. And they're back out of the camp. No one's stirring still. Everything is just as quiet as can be. And they get up, they cross down through the valley and across a ravine there and up on the next hillside, and David calls out. And he begins to just do a little bit of taunting here with Abner. Says, hey, Abner, why aren't you protecting the king? What's up with that, man? You know, somebody ought to lose their life over this. Somebody walked right into the middle of your camp and you weren't there to protect the king. What's up with that? Now, I'm paraphrasing, okay? And so we come down to the moment here where you know, David holds up that spear. He says, hey, isn't this the spear that was right there at Saul's bedside and his water bag? And, well, then Saul perks up. He says, David, is that your voice? Well, here's the sad part of the story. The sad part of the story, and we've seen it over and over in the life of Saul. Saul had so many opportunities when he could have repented and turned to God and owned up. You know, he did, you know, say he was wrong, and he did it. He said it here. He said he had erred greatly, and you know, he confessed that to David. But yet, we don't see any indication that there was genuine repentance there. And the Bible says that when you have godly sorrow, it brings repentance. But worldly sorrow, it really doesn't. It may bring tears. It may bring some outward display, some show. We may get on the altar and make a big thing, but yet there's no change in our heart. And we're not forsaking our sin. Well, Saul had his opportunities. Here he has another one. And he tells David again. He says, you're right. You know, you had the chance to take my life, and you didn't. You spared my life, and you know, this is great. And David tells him, said, man, you're out here chasing me around. And he calls him, said, he did this the same thing in chapter 24. He said, why are you hunting me? Why are you looking for me? I'm nothing but a flea. I don't know how many of you have ever called yourself a flea. But David says, why are you out here, you know, looking for me? I'm not a threat to you. I'm not about to try to destroy you or take your life or take the kingship from you. And so he gives one thought here I want us to just look at for a moment. In verse 19, at the end of the verse, it says that they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord. And the inheritance is the way that it's a word used to describe the people of God, God's chosen people. And he says, you have driven me away from being with God's people. And, you know, it's not just that he's away from his family. He's out here enduring hardship and, you know, living a very rough, difficult life. But he says, you've taken spiritual blessings from me. And, you know, I want to encourage you tonight. There's a lot of ways that the enemy will work on us to try to attack our family or give us difficulties with our work or finances or a lot of different areas. But one of the things that the devil wants to do is he wants to take us out of being a part of God's people. He wants to isolate us. He wants to get us away from the rest of the flock of God. And, you know, when the enemy starts looking for which sheep he's going to attack, which one do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be the one sitting under the shepherd's feet? Or is it going to be the one out here on the edge, out on the very edge somewhere, you know, about as far away from the flock as he can get? What's going to be the one out here? Why? Because he's isolated, he's unprotected, he's alone. And the Lord has never intended us to live like that. That's why we need church family. There's power, there's strength, there's safety within the body, within the flock of God, within the people of God. Boy, we find prayer. You know, how many prayer requests did we hear, you know, were answered? You know, how many different things tonight and this morning we heard some that God had answered prayer. Well, but how many people are sitting in a hospital room tonight who don't have a church family, who don't have an identity with the body of Christ, and they might know Jesus, but yet they don't have the strength and the security and the help of a family of believers to come alongside them and to love them and to pray for them, to encourage them. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks like that. And I've had people, you know, some of our people. In fact, Cheryl asked me this week. We were down there at the hospital, and she said, how in the world do people who don't have the Lord, how do they make it through things like this? Some of them don't make it very well. Some of them don't make it at all. But that's why we need the inheritance. We need the people of God. And don't let the enemy rob you of that. Don't let the enemy lie to you, deceive you, in any way hinder you from receiving the blessings God has for you through the people of God. Well, David said that's what's happened here. And so, you know, Saul confesses that he has sinned. He says, I've been a fool. I've committed a grave error. And so David makes one final request. He says, look, I've considered your life valuable today. In our current terminology, we say, I consider that your life matters. How about you consider that my life matters? And, you know, I've regarded your life today as valuable and as precious because it is. Every life is given by God. Every life is important. Every person matters. And so David says, Lord, protect me and help my life to be valuable. And it's a sad day when we come to the place where we begin to see today the way people are treating one another. You know, from just family relationships to matters of crime and all kinds of, you know, we see it all the time on the news. We hear about it. We know it. Well, I want to encourage you tonight. Saul had it in his craw that he needed to kill David. He needed to get rid of this guy. He's a threat. And on the face of it, yeah, you'd think he would be, but David had such a deep respect for the Lord that he was not a threat. And so at the end of the story here in chapter 26, Saul says, you know, I won't pursue you anymore, and you know, everything's good, and we're all fine now. But chapter 27, verse 1, David goes and hides in another place. Because what's he learned so far about Saul? He's learned you can't trust him. He may say something one day, next day, that's out the window. So, you know, it's a difficult place, but this is coming to an end, and it's gonna wrap up. And so the next few chapters are going to be interesting, but I want to encourage you tonight. Honor the Lord. Do the right things, because we know about the cost of sin. I mean, to some extent, right? We know that sin carries a price tag. When you sin, if you don't know this, just know it. When you sin, there is a cost. The wages of sin is death. And that's still true for Christians. You say, well, wait a second. I thought our sins were free. They are. But if we knowingly engage in sin, we're bringing God's judgment on us as believers, His discipline. And the ultimate form of God's discipline is death. And, you know, hopefully we don't get that far. Hopefully we repent right off the bat and turn from that thing. But the other side of that is when you do the right thing, when you do something that's right, there's a blessing and there's a benefit and there's a reward for that. And sometimes we don't know what it's going to be. We don't know what's going to happen just because we took a step of faith here and we obeyed God and did something. We don't know that next month God's going to use that somehow to bless us, or next year, God's going to open up, or in our children's lives, God's going to do something. Why? Because we took a step of faith today. We did something to honor the Lord, and now God's saying, I'm going to bless that. And so sin, well, sin has a way of bringing, I mean, you know, we can look and we'll see it in David's life. When he fell hard. He fell spectacularly in terms of just turning from God. And then he paid a horrible price the rest of his life and beyond his life here on the earth. You know, guys, I want to encourage you. When you honor the Lord, He will bring blessing. He will pour out blessing. And you never know. That may be touching your grandchildren one of these days. So, seek to honor the Lord. David wouldn't lift his hand against Saul. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Amen. All right, well, let's close in prayer. And tonight, what I want to ask you to do is maybe there's something in your heart that God surfaced, that God's brought to your mind about an area you're struggling with or decision you're dealing with or some thing that you kind of have had a hard time and it's difficult. You want to, may want to lash out or you may want to answer back in your flesh. And I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to help you to do what is right, to do what pleases Him. So maybe something already in your mind, may not be. And if all is well in your heart and your soul tonight, that's great. But would you pray for someone else? Would you pray for somebody else who's here tonight who's struggling? There's something going on that they need God to deal with them about, help them with. So maybe tonight you're here and you've never been saved. You never trusted Jesus. Well, in a moment, as we sing, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to come and take my hand and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm saved. And I'd love to share with you and pray with you. But you do whatever God lays on your heart tonight. Father, we just thank You for the Word of God. I pray tonight You give us grace to come humbly to You in this moment. And Lord, I pray You'll do a mighty work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, forgive us where we've failed. Cleanse us, wash us, make us clean. Lord, help us even now to turn from that sin, that attitude, that thought, that behavior. Help us to just turn away from it. And Father, I pray that if there's even one who needs to be saved, that You would speak to their heart. Lord, that You would help them to know it and give them grace to say yes. So we thank You, Father, for what You do.